all things are dissolved. You should not estimate our worth by our funeral mounds, or by these monuments of unequal size which line the road. Their ashes level all men. We are unequal at birth, but are equal in death. What I say about cities, I say also about their inhabitants. Ardea was captured as well as Rome. The great founder of human law has not made distinctions between us on the basis of high lineage or of illustrious names, except while we live. When, however, we come to the end which awaits mortals, he says, "Depart, ambition, to all creatures that burden the earth. Let one and the same law apply. For enduring all things, we are equal. No one is more frail than another, no one more certain of his own life on the morrow." Alexander, king of Macedon, began to study geometry. Unhappy man, because he would thereby learn how puny was that earth of which he had seized but a fraction. Unhappy man, I repeat, because he was bound to understand that he was bearing a false title. For who can be great in that which is puny? The lessons which were being taught him were intricate and could be learned only by assiduous application. They were not the kind to be comprehended by a madman who let his thoughts range beyond the ocean. "Teach me something easy," he cries. But his teacher answers, "These things are the same for all, as hard for one as for another." Imagine that nature is saying to us, "Those things of which you complain are the same for all. I cannot give anything easier to any man, but whoever wishes will make things easier for himself." In what way? By equanimity. You must suffer pain and thirst and hunger and old age too, if a longer stay among men shall be granted you. You must be sick, and you must suffer loss and death. Nevertheless, you should not believe those whose noisy clamor surrounds you. None of these things is an evil. None is beyond your power to bear, or is burdensome. It is only by common opinion that there is anything formidable in them. Your fearing death is therefore like your fear of gossip. But what is more foolish than a man afraid of words? Our friend Demetrius is wont to put it cleverly when he says, "For me, the talk of ignorant men is like the rumblings which issue from the belly." For, he adds, "What difference does it make to me whether such rumblings come from above or from below?" What madness it is to be afraid of disrepute in the judgment of the disreputable. Just as you have had no cause for shrinking in terror from the talk of men, so you have no cause now to shrink from these things, which you would never fear had not their talk forced fear upon you. Does it do any harm to a good man to be besmirched by unjust gossip? Then let not this sort of thing damage death either in our estimation. Death also is in bad odor. but no one of those who malign death has made trial of it. Meanwhile, it is foolhardy to condemn that of which you are ignorant. This one thing, however, you do know, that death is helpful to many, that it sets many free from tortures, want, ailments, sufferings, and weariness. We are in the power of nothing when once we have death in our own power. Farewell. Letter 92. On the Happy Life. You and I will agree, I think, that outward things are sought for the satisfaction of the body, that the body is cherished out of regard for the soul, and that in the soul there are certain parts which minister to us, enabling us to move and to sustain life, bestowed upon us just for the sake of the primary part of us. In this primary part, there is something irrational and something rational. The former obeys the latter, while the latter is the only thing that is not referred back to another, but rather refers all things to itself. For the divine reason also is set in supreme command over all things, and is itself subject to none. And even this reason which we possess is the same, because it is derived from the divine reason. Now, if we are agreed on this point, it is natural that we shall be agreed on the following also, namely, that the happy life depends upon this and this alone, our attainment of perfect reason. For it is not but this that keeps the soul from being bowed down, that stands its ground against fortune. Whatever the condition of their affairs may be, it keeps men untroubled. And that alone is a good which is never subject to impairment. That man, I declare, is happy, whom nothing makes less strong than he is. He keeps to the heights, leaning upon none.